and the worship services will get them feeling more comfortable in a church environment. So then they can go back and to their local church to worship with their community. Because as we all know, as being a family of believers, we need to draw all in to closer to God. And that's the goal. And in doing so, we're revamping our website. We are just doing a whole overhaul of the virtual aspect of Seek the Sun Ministries. The website is a work in progress, and we hope to have that done by the end of the year. But the worship services, or the virtual worship services and Bible studies, are what we really are looking for. So if you happen to know anybody, we have sign-up sheets in the fellowship hall. If you know of somebody who would like to participate in the virtual Bible study, please do not hesitate to get a hold of us by email, or we can give you a business card and it has our phone numbers on there, because we are really looking to just expand out.
And I just wanted to add with that, you can connect with this. One of the reasons this has been slow going for us is that we wanted something that you could connect either through an app on your smart device, through a website, or through that thing called a phone. So we really wanted to make sure that all aspects of that were able and that our internet could support everything, because we do live out in the boonies, so internet is not important. The last part that we're really focusing on, and we'd appreciate prayer for all of these, is a retreat experience. And as many of you know, one of the reasons we moved to Vermont is that we are looking to acquire property there. God still hasn't brought that to fruition, but his timing is awesome. And we're really comfortable with what's been going on so far. But in the meantime, we want to create a virtual retreat experience. And it's a pretty lengthy description, but more or less, you could take a couple of hours anywhere and just clear your mind of everything and be right there with God through different experiences. And the app that we are creating will also bring some of the experiences of the different sounds and just the description of the textures of what's outside, that type of thing. We live in an area where the beauty is boundless. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. Yet we live in a state, and I've said this several times on my visits, we are the least reached state. And we're not the smallest state either, but there's beautiful churches everywhere, and God's evident in beauty and nature everywhere, and yet many, many people do not believe. And thankfully, we live intentionally with a family that love Jesus, and so that's been our refuge, but it's just something to keep in mind. We also wanted to kind of give personal updates on prayer requests, because we do appreciate your prayers. We are definitely praying for all of you, so anytime, please pass on prayers. One of the things that's always seemed to be an issue the last few years is my health. It did hit kind of a really rocky point this year. We didn't know if we could make this trip, and I'm not sure that the doctors would want me to, but God made it clear that we could, and it's been awesome so far. They really don't know what's wrong with me. My numbers get all out of whack, blood sugar and all these other kind of things. So basically it comes back to no thyroid. You know what? We all have broken bodies. I know many of you are suffering from one thing or another, and I just take refuge in the fact that we will have awesome bodies when we get to heaven. The other part of that, though, to keep in mind, and I think Ken and I are learning from this, it's hard for Ken, as my husband and as my biggest supporter, to see some of my suffering, and I'm sure other people in the audience understand that. You see someone that's in so much pain or just so uncomfortable. So pray for him as well. He wants to be the big fixer. And I appreciate that, but it's hard. Pray for our kids. They're all at different points of their lives. Two of them are still here in Minneapolis. Chris is still up in Fargo with his family. You know, it's the reality is they're growing up and they're realizing what it's like to be an adult. So just pray for that process. Growing pains are kind of tough, and we would appreciate your prayers. All right, let's talk about God's word, and Kent's going to run away. We are going to look at today Psalm 29. It's the first praise psalm that we come across in the book of Psalms. It talks about the voice of God. And basically, David wrote this as a call to worship for everybody. The first part of the first part of this is for angels, spiritual bodies. He's asking them to come to worship and give God the glory. The second part is for all of his creation. And I believe the third part is for us. So we're going to break that down and look at that. Let's pray first, though. Father God, I just love you so much. I thank you that you give me the opportunity to come back here. I thank you for everybody that's here today and for those that are not, Father God. I just pray that you clear our minds and help our hearts to understand this message. I pray all this in your son's name. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I turn on the news or even go look on Facebook, my heart starts hurting really quickly. There's just been way too much around the globe that's causing just heartache between shootings and global warming and just this and that. In my sphere of influence, just this past week, I have 3 or 4 stories of people with disabilities being excluded. Hotel 6, a gentleman was not allowed to stay there because he was blind, and they said he needed supervision. There's a church in South Carolina that refused to have a person with a guide dog because they didn't want a dog in their sanctuary. Another person in Texas was turned away from a church because he has a disfigured face. Another person was turned away from a church because they said that his sins were too great, that the reason he was disabled was because of his sins. Well, thankfully, we all know that no sins are too big for God. We just need to ask for forgiveness and ask him to come into our hearts. But as I, a person in disability ministry who wants to bring the saving power of Jesus to all of the people around me, I hurt. I want to just stomp my feet and go in there and say, change this, you must. And probably in my early years of being a follower of Jesus, I probably did do that. A little too passionate at times. But I've come to realize that even these injustices are in God's hands. Yes, he wants us to minister to people. Yes, he wants us to experience these, not because he's a mean God that wants to punish, but because he knows it's a fallen world, and he's giving us an opportunity to accept him willingly. And in that process, then we have responsibilities. And today, I want to talk about those responsibilities and do that through the book of Psalm 29. And one of the things I really want to emphasize here, I thought was kind of cool, that this particular psalm was read over and over again in different worship settings through the years in order, in a thunderstorm, to really get the impact of God's power. So I really challenge you that your next thunderstorm, take this psalm out. I've done that, and it's just a really cool experience. So let's look first at my first point here. Give God the glory, no matter what. And we're going to look at Psalm 29, verses 1 through 2, and I'll quickly get it up here and read it. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. And the general thought there is, O mighty ones are the angels. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. 4 times there we're told to give God the glory. I know at times when, even in a thunderstorm, and I'm absolutely scared of thunderstorms, when I'm so scared, sometimes it's hard to give God the glory. It's hard to do this. It's hard. But it's very, very clear here that no matter what, God will be glorified, and he needs to be given the glory. There's often situations that Ken and I come into where there's no right or wrong answer at that point. The point is to bring peace. And immediately I start out praying, giving God the glory, that even in this situation, not such a great situation, or in someone's weakness, that God will be glorified. And that's what it's all about. So sometimes I was thinking and praying about today, and I'm sure that people here at Oak Hill, you know, going through this transition, it cannot be easy, sorting everything and figuring out what's next and a lot of uncertainty. I never used to like uncertainty, but I realized as a missionary, it happens. And when things are too certain, I think, oh yeah, well, that's going to change. it happens. But when you've had a church to come to year after year, week after week, and then all of a sudden that church literally is not just going to be somewhere where you don't worship, but it's going to be gone. You won't visibly see it. That, again, that's unsettling. And in that kind of situation, in all situations, give God the glory. Thank him. Acknowledge him. And the results will be absolutely mind-blowing. And for me, it takes away from the worry. This year, the rain that we've had in our part of the Northeast Kingdom has been so destructive. There's a river right behind our barn, and it was 100 feet behind our barn, and we've lost almost 20 feet of that riverbank because of these rains. I mean, there's just big chunks of banks in the middle of the river. And again, it's a little worrisome. Kind of don't want to have to go into an ark to live the rest of my life. But we give God the glory. And this erosion has happened so quickly and is so widespread that it's very, very close. There's cracks on the road that goes right by this river, and it's about to, you know, destroy the road. And even, you know, leadership and that type of thing, they're not sure what to do about this yet. And I see so many distraught people, and they'll say, well, how can you be so calm about this? It's right behind you. Well, again, giving God the glory helps me. It gives me comfort, and just like it says in this psalm, and towards the end as we move on, it'll show you that God will give you the strength. Let's look at the second point. Finding God in the midst of the storm. And we're going to look at Psalm 29:3-9, and all through this you're going to hear about the voice. So just think about all God's voice in all of this. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. Lord of Kadesh, the voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry, glory. We've all seen the destruction of storms. To think about God's voice being this powerful, and more so, imagine how much more powerful his hands are. God is everywhere. God knows about all these things that we're seeing on Facebook and in the news, and he knows about what's hurting in our heart. He knows that we feel either intimidated or uncomfortable, whatever we're feeling, outrage. whatever that may be, he knows. And at any point, if you feel like, where is he? What's he gonna do? Why isn't he making this better? Think of a thunderstorm. Think of all that damage. And just remember that you're a child of his if you've accepted Christ. And how much more will he take care of you if he's willing to take care of his creation? That is our maker. He not only, you know, has power like thunder, he has power more than thunder. He has power more than lightning. Keep that in mind. I know, again, I don't like thunderstorms. And I've heard Minnesota this past winter had a lot of snow. We had so much snow that we didn't have windows anymore. And that wasn't even from piling up shoveling. That was just the snow depth. It's kind of like, I don't need to see out the window. I guess Ken doesn't either. But so the snow banks were just so high. And in Vermont, there's 5 seasons. After the snow melt, there's mud season. And I have to tell you, if there's something more humorous than Ken in mud season, he absolutely does not like mud season. And the way I grew up in Vermont, and so the way I handle mud season is I just don't wear any shoes outside. And I just carry my shoes with me and put them on no matter where I go. Because even stores will close because the parking lots are all mud. There's quite a couple of towns nearby that doesn't have any paved roads, and so nothing happens. We determine our school break in the spring when we determine when mud season's gonna be. I mean, it's something that really overpowers our lives because it's muddy, we sink. It's not just a little mud either. I mean, I've had it go up to my calf. And again, I grew up in Vermont, and so my mom's philosophy was, hey, have fun. Many people don't have that philosophy, including Ken. he doesn't like getting his shoes dirty. So I love him to pieces, but he's still growing on trying to be a Vermonter. But one thing I keep in mind with this is think about it. If it's so thick, this mud, that we can't walk on it, and you know, sometimes when there's a lot of mud, you put a plank down. No, that plank just gets sucked up. What does his animals do? The weasels and the raccoons and the skunks and the bears and the deer, and yeah, they have power and that type of thing, but the ability to get around these 2 weeks. And I think to myself, they're all safe. You don't see an animal stuck in mud somewhere. So obviously God's willing to take care of those and help them to get through this. He's even more willing to take care of us. I was in New York City. And the first time I've experienced a big thunderstorm in New York City, we were visiting Ken's dad when I was 18. And it was January 1st. And there wasn't supposed to be thunderstorms January 1st, but there was, and there was snow, and it was just incredible. But after the window was open, because I wanted to smell everything and hear everything, there was actually a bird out there. And that stuck with me all these years. Like, God's power is enough to take care of this little bird. And I believe, we can disagree on this later, but I believe God knew I needed to hear that bird to bring me comfort, and that's why it was there. Let's look at our third point, sharing the strength and peace of God that he provides in the storms. And we're looking at verses 10 and 11. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And I say amen to that. This flood, most likely it's the flood that Noah experienced. I often will talk with someone that's feeling so overwhelmed by their own personal situations, and they say, I need perspective. I just don't want to talk about me. And so we often talk about the flood. I can't even imagine how it felt for 40 days to be in an ark with homeless animals. I do know it must have been a little stinky. Food sources must have been running out. But God provided. He wiped out the world as they knew it and still brought an even better world back. It just gives you a perspective that even if you've believed the worst is happening and you believe you're going to have nothing left, whether it's a home, whether it's your health, whether it's possibly a child or a grandchild that's not doing very well, just remember the flood. And there was even more beauty after. And through all of this, God not only says it'll be okay, but he gives us strength and peace. And I believe if people show more strength and more peace in this world, it would feel a lot more comfortable. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a situation and there's people fighting around me, whether it's total strangers or people that are in my family, I get a sense of just unease. And do I try to butt in and fix things? Well, of course I do, because I'm Teresa. But I am realizing that I don't even need to say anything. But I am responsible, I believe, through the mandates of Jesus, that I need to share this strength and this peace. So maybe, especially take my family for example, if there's a little feud going on, and if they invite me, and sure, I'll give my 2 cents, but sometimes I just sit there quietly and pray. My family is not believers. And it gives them the opportunity to see that peace. There's nothing better than being quiet and being still and not being judgmental that gives a lot of peace to another person. I'll never forget back when Pastor Paul had his motorcycle accident and he was in HCMC quite a long time. I was called down to visit by Paul, and at the time I came down, there was some testing that he was doing, so I was waiting in a waiting room. And it was one of the trauma waiting rooms, and those, for those of you who haven't been there, have to be locked typically for security reasons. Well, there had been a gang shooting in North Minneapolis, and I happened to be sitting next to the two moms. One was a mom of a person who initiated the shooting and shot. The second was a mom of a gentleman who was shot by the police. They were sitting side by side, and hey, a cricket, that's even better than a bird. Gotta love that. And I kept praying for them, and I can say now I was embarrassed with how nervous I was. You know, between being locked, between hearing gang shootings, between hearing just violence in general, I was so nervous. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be a nervous Nelly. Show me what I need to do here. And God just said, show peace, show peace, show peace. Well, their heartaches were so much that they got to the point that they didn't want to talk about their heartaches anymore. So they happened to reach out and ask why I was there, and I was explaining it. And they said, why do bad things happen to pastors if they love Jesus? And I said, because we live in a fallen world, bad things happen to all of us. And at times it feels unfair. And we got to talking about that unfair, especially being a mama and something happened to one of your kids. It feels more than unfair. But I just learned so much from these two women. They didn't scream at each other. They didn't show hate towards each other. They held each other while they cried. They exchanged Kleenexes. I mean, there was this need for peace and strength, and they exhibited it. I'm not sure whether they believed or not, but let me tell you, they taught me a lot that day. And I challenge each of you, no matter what, look for God in the storms, little storms, big storms, it doesn't matter. Give God the glory no matter what. And the peace and the strength that he blesses us with, you better share. Because it works. It just has such a healing, It's wonderful. God's grace, we all know, is sufficient. And in the midst of storms, it's just so abundant. And I believe it's our responsibility to share. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I just thank you so much. I thank you for this psalm. I thank you for thunderstorms. I thank you for storms. I thank you for churches moving. I thank you for making us uncertain and uncomfortable. But we give you all the praise, glory, and honor, Father God, because you are our rock. You are our strength. And when you bless us with this peace, I pray, Father God, that we're obedient and that we share it with others. And maybe we don't even need to say words. Maybe we just need to give a smile or a hug. Let us rely on the Holy Spirit, Father God. Pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we close.